good. I know we're changing things up a little bit. Just continue to be praying for me. I got some good stuff to share with you. I know that God speaks every single week. You can see I'm throwing everything everywhere so I can make sure I'm ready for y'all. But I'm glad that you're here. Again, if this is your first time, we actually take months and we talk about different topics. We do series. And we're in the Sermon on the Mount season 3. And can I be honest with you guys? You're like, man, Sean, this has been some challenging stuff. I know. Like, I have to live it before I preach it. Like, I hear what you're saying, and so we're going to continue on with this journey, and we're actually in Matthew 6, so if you have your Bible, you can open there. If you have a, you know, cellular device, you can open that up, or we even have it on the screen for you as well. Before I read, let me give you just a brief overview of what we've been talking about. Jesus is the one talking in this scripture, and he's actually giving a sermon on a mountain, hence Sermon on the Mount. I know we were very clever with this series title. Sermon on the Mount. And most of his audience were Pharisees, which were the priests and the pastors of the day. So that's very important as we go through this so you know who he's talking to, because he's challenging the status quo. He's literally saying, everything you thought was right, whoop, and he flips it upside down. And if you actually read through it starting in Matthew 5, we're going to go through Matthew 7 by the end of this year. It's very good stuff. And I just believe this. If Jesus said it, we should live it, right? If Jesus said it, we should live it. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy. I just see vermin, I think like Duck Dynasty, so I have to say, vermin! And where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Remember, Jesus is talking right here. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If this is your first time today, you came at a very good time. If you invited someone today, you invite them to the sermon where I talk about money. Welcome to Authentic Church. So glad you're here. Let me read one more scripture for you. This is in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 13. I'm just going to put these out, and then I'm going to combine these two together. This is also Jesus giving a parable, which at this time was like a story to push his point home. He says this, then someone called from the crowd, teacher, talking to Jesus, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friends, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Everyone say, bigger, bigger is better. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for your years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything you worked for. God was not cursing him and saying, I'm going to kill you. God was saying, I know already what's going to happen to you tonight, and this is your last night, and yet you stored everything. So I just want to clarify that. Some people look and go, wow, God, he's like, no, this is what's going to happen. Remember, it's a parable God is sharing. He's using a story to share his point. And then verse 21, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Before I pray, I want to do a little few points as we talk about money today. First off, we talk about money at Authentic Church because Jesus talked about money. This is something when I talk about trail mix. You guys have heard me say this before. The Bible's not trail mix. You can't pick out the good stuff and leave all the bad stuff in the bag. You have to eat all of it. And Jesus was very clear about money. He actually talked about hell and money the most over anything else he talked about in Scripture. The Bible is also a great resource to help us be successful in our finances. I believe that wholeheartedly. And let me just tell you this. Having money isn't a bad thing. It's when money has you. Jesus talks about money because it's his biggest competition when it comes to people choosing what they want to worship and what they want to serve. And I want to say this one more time. He is also not saying saving money is a bad thing. Proverbs talks about saving money. It talks about how we can be wise with our money. So we're going to cover those things too. And if you are a follower of Christ, real fast, just take a second. If you are here, you say, Sean, I'm trying to step into this church thing. I heard about Authentic Church. It's a place where I can come just as I am. You're right. We're glad that you came, no matter your hang-up, your misfitness, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you did last night, you are welcome here. And I want you to belong before you believe. So if you say, I don't know if I'm living for Christ yet, this really doesn't apply to you. But as soon as you become a follower of Christ, that's when we say, I want not just what Jesus says, I want everything he has for me. And that's when we walk that out. So if you're joining us today, we're going to talk about money. You can sit back and listen as I talk to people who say, I'm a follower of Christ. Because if you say you're a follower of Christ, Jesus says this, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. I have one more thing to say. The same person who said these challenging words is the same person who said these words. I've come to give you life and life to the full. The same person who challenges with money and what we store is the same person who said, I want to give you an abundant life. Could it be that those could be attached in some way? Hey, don't store up treasure here. I want to give you an abundant life. What's hard is we look at the abundant life, but not what we need to do to get there. He says they go together. They go together. So the same guy, the same God, Jesus, who says, store these things is also the one who says that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this next few moments. I pray that you would open up our hearts. I pray that we would be ready to receive from you and everything you have, because Lord, I know that you want to speak to our hearts. Thank you for everything you're doing in this place right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's ever seen Storage Wars? Anyone ever see Storage Wars? Yeah, now I'm talking. There's times I like say, have you ever seen this? And I get like one hand. Now I just know I need to go with like History Channel stuff and go with all this stuff like documentary. Storage Wars. If you're not familiar with Storage Wars, what it is people pretty much have storage that they leave and they don't pay off or whatever. And so people go in and auction off those storages. And so people go in, I don't know how much of it's staged, but people literally are banding around the storage and they get a certain amount of time as it opens to look in there, see what they can estimate and how much they want to spend on it. They close the door and the bidding starts. And then it's like kind of like a gamble. So they begin to do the bidding and begin to speak out. And then whoever buys that storage gets everything in it. It could be amazing stuff or it could be a bunch of garbage and they lose money. It really is a gamble. It really is. And as I watch Storage Wars, I love this show. I think it's very encouraging to me because I'm like, man, the reason why it's encouraging me, that sounds terrible, I don't know if I should say this, is because I'm not the person who left a bunch of stuff back. And I was like... good. I don't have a problem yet. You know, like I feel pretty good about myself. But I watch Storage Wars because it's kind of crazy what people leave behind. But not just that, it's kind of crazy how much stuff that we've accumulated and how we just put it in a place for it to rot, for it to go nowhere. And I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Has anyone ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? Because at the end of the day, Jesus says, do not store things here. I want you to store them in heaven. Because at the end of the day, everything you've accumulated on earth is eventually going to be someone else's. I think of Storage Wars and how they've accumulated all these things. And at the end of the day, they don't even own it anymore. Someone else just took it right from them. Jesus says, welcome to heaven. Welcome to earth and welcome to what we live. And Jesus also in Luke 12, you got to bear with me as I build this foundation. In Luke 12, he shares a similar story about a man who actually does what Jesus tells in the Sermon on the Mount not to do. And it says, if you guys want to put Luke 12 up, verse 14, he said, friend, who made me judge over you decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. If I was to ask you a simple question today, it would be this. What is the measurement of your success in this life? What is your measurement? What are you using to measure how you've made it? Is it money? Is it popularity? Is it how smart you are? Is it all your accolades and all your trophies or what you still did back in high school, even though it was 30 years ago, you still bring it up at the dinner table every single night? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that is. I don't know what you measure. But he's saying, listen, you need to guard against all types of greed. Is it crazy that we spend more times putting up walls around things we shouldn't be putting walls up around, and we actually tear down walls that we should be building walls up on? Because Jesus says, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And usually we go into environments and we just leave our heart open to hurt and pain and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we have our walls torn down. But he also says, but where you need to build a wall up is on greed. And what is it, even in the church case, sometimes we get so comfortable, these walls actually become walls to the people who are hurting and broken in our community. And as a church, we end up building walls around things we should have never built walls around. He's saying, this is a time where we are going to attack greed. And if we were honest with ourselves, I know this isn't very popular, but it's an idol in our land. You have an idol you need to take care of. And Jesus says straight, there should be no one before me. If you want a full and lasting life, you've got to take this thing out. Got to take it out. Because I know we don't, this isn't popular, because back in the day, it's like, well, I don't have wooden statues in my kitchen. I don't have these things that I bow to. I heard a witch doctor say once, and there was an interview, a guy was interviewing a witch doctor, and the witch doctor said, I don't understand why you have such a problem with me and our idols. And I said, why do you say that? And she goes, because you have people in your churches who sit in a room for hours upon hours staring at a glowing thing on the wall. It's just that our idols look different. Just that our idols look different. Now, this isn't to bring condemnation. This is just to reevaluate our heart, saying, God, what have I put before you? What have I put in front of you? Because if you have an abundant life for me, I need to put you first. It's not going to come from anything else. He said, what do you measure life by? Guard against every kind of greed. You're like, Sean, I don't think I'm a greedy person, honestly. I'm sorry, I have to do this. This is going to be heavy, and it's going to get really good. It's going to get really encouraging, but it's going to take time. Because I'm a greedy person. I am. And I got some questions. I asked some people. I looked in. I said, what does a greedy person look like? And this wrecked me. This is what it says. Greedy means I owe me. Greedy people talk a lot and worry a lot about money. Greedy people are not cheerful givers. Greedy people are reluctant to share. Greedy people are poor losers. Got that one. Greedy people quibble over insignificant sums of money. Greedy people talk as if they have just enough to get by. Greedy people often create a culture of secrecy around them. Greedy people won't let you forget what you've done for you. Greedy people are reluctant to express gratitude. Uh-oh. Greedy people aren't content with what they have. And greedy people attempt to control people with their money. And last, and my favorite, greedy people read these and make excuses for their greediness. The reason why I said this, guys, isn't just to put you in your place. The reason why I said this is so that whatever's inside can come out. Because when the light is shown, it's a time not to shame us, but to save us. Yeah. And now we get to choose, man, am I a greedy person? Because we all can deal with greediness. This guy in the story was dealing with greediness, and he says, you need to guard against all types of greed. And then he goes on to tell the story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all, everyone help me out, my crops. Whose crops? My crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down, everyone help me out, my barns, and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store, help me out, all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to, help me out, myself. I don't know about you, but this dude's selfish. Sometimes we're like, okay, Sean, so how do we know if we're getting into greed? How do we know if we're going through this? The first way that we need to be careful, if we're going to be storing treasures in heaven or if we're going to be storing treasures in earth, we have to establish this. We have to remember who the crops is in the first place. We have to remember whose the money is in the first place. We have to remember everything that's come our way. This guy says, what am I going to do with all my stuff? As soon as we see the stuff that God has blessed us with as ours, then we'll keep it as ours. But when we see it as a blessing from God, then we know we can give it to someone else. What does that mean? It means this. Have you ever had your own money and you said, you know what? I would like to give this to someone, but I worked hard for this money. I don't want to give this person this money. God, I know you want me to give this person, even if it's $5, but I worked super hard for this, so I'm not going to do it. Haven't done it. On the other side, say someone comes in and gives you $100. Well, now that you got $100 and God's saying give $5 to someone, it's pretty easy. Why? Because you didn't have to work hard to earn that money. Someone blessed you with it, and now you're like, well, someone blessed me with it. Here's $5 because it's really not taking anything from me. Why? Because you knew at the first time it wasn't your money. Generosity happens when we realize it wasn't ours in the first place. Do you want to be a generous church? Do you know why I believe we have generous people in here? Because they've gotten to the point to say, God, these aren't my crops, these are your crops. This isn't my wheat, this is your wheat. These aren't my arms, these are your arms. These aren't my hands, these are your hands. These aren't my feet, these are your feet. And as a preacher, this isn't my mouth, this is your mouth. And when we give it to God, he says, you can be generous with it. But greedy people say, this is my mouth, these are my arms, this is my breath, this is my air. And then we live for ourselves. The guy said, what am I going to do with all my stuff? My buildings. You wouldn't have a building if God didn't bless you in the first place. You wouldn't have the crops if he didn't bring the rain and the sunshine in the first place. You wouldn't have the crops if he sent the bugs away in the first place. You wouldn't have the audacity and the strength and the energy and the lungs and the blood circulation and the hands to build that barn if it wasn't God in the first place. So be very careful when you build everything for everybody else when God gave you everything. See, the best way we can take care of greed is we need to look at our phrases. How many times do we say, my? You see, I think what happens is when we come in, it's so hard. I've been practicing this now for a while, and every time you tithe, there's this thing that comes in your mind that says, okay, this is a withdrawal from me. This was my money. No, it wasn't. It's going to be so much easier when you realize someone gave that to you. It's going to be so much easier when you step in here and say, God, you've given me everything, and not just money. You gave me a relationship. You fixed my marriage. You set me free from addiction. That thing and that anger and that anxiety and that fear, you gave me this. You blessed us with this building. You blessed us with this community. You blessed us with these things. I have no problem giving because you've given me everything. See, guys, when we start saying my, we lose sight of why we're here in the first place. But when we realize it's God's, it's easier to share that with others. It's easier to share that with others. He says, my barns, my things. And verse 18 says this, then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. They don't have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. Everyone say bigger. Bigger. I call this the land of Ur. Andy Stanley calls this the land of Ur. You've probably been in the land of Ur before. Bigger, better, smarter, healthier, lighter, richer, greater. I don't know about you, but I think as Christians, we can get stuck in the land of Ur. It's what? Not being content with what God has given us. Guys, I can tell you there's a reason why Jesus says godliness and contentment is great gain. If you and I can never learn to be content, we will never be satisfied with what God brings our way. We'll always want bigger barns. He says, I know what I can do. I can build bigger barns. I just wonder what he said before he built that barn. God, I'm just going to store this in my little room. Oh, I need more room. I need more room. I need more room. Oh, man, I need more room. I need more room. I hear this people all the time, and I hear this, and it breaks my heart. We go, and I realize, have you noticed that there's problems that we try to fix that actually don't fix the problem? Now, I can't talk from my perspective, but I can talk from other people's perspective I've talked about, and I've encouraged people. They come and say, Sean, what do I need to do in this situation? They say, my husband or my wife, we're going through a situation right now. We can't pay off the payments. We can't pay the bills. We can't do these things. And we're just struggling and we're struggling and we're struggling. And we just sit down with them. We're like, well, just tell us about, tell us how much you make. And they're like, okay, this is how much we make. And we're like, do you know what we could do with all that money? I'm like, so then tell me what you own. Well, we own a car we can't afford, a house we can't afford. We go shopping every single week. We go out to eat all the time. We do this. And I'm like, oh, here's the problem. It's not that you need more. You just need to be better with what you have. But what happens when we're not content is what the resources God gives us, we're never content with it, and so we need bigger. And what happens is even though the husband gets the promotion, it doesn't fix anything. He's just going to get a bigger car. He's just going to get a bigger meal. He's just going to get more clothes and still being the same thing. I've met people who make way more than Lizzie and I probably will ever make, and they are having the same conversations as they don't have any money to get by. Guys, this is not a money issue. It's a heart issue. Jesus wanted to talk about money for one reason. He said, I'm not bringing this up to tell you where you need to put your money. He doesn't need our money. God, he doesn't need it. God's not like, oh, God, I don't think he's like, okay, authentic. This week is pretty tight up here in heaven. One of our angels went out last week and he didn't look at the budget and he spent $200 extra on the harp that had the wireless setting and we just needed it to be the cordless setting. So can you please just give a couple more extra dollars, authentic church? That's not what it's about. He says, it's not even about the money. It's about the heart. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if your treasure is in the things of the world, your heart will be in the things of the world. So when your money's destroyed, guess what else is going to be destroyed? Our hearts. And when we can't afford it, our hearts. And when we're greedy, our hearts. And he says, I'm going to build bigger things. I'm going to build bigger things. You see, guys, to be honest with you, this whole week I was praying because I had like 4 different messages I wanted to share. And as I came down to it, I said, God, I just want to talk to my church. Because a lot of people come in, they see the televangelist. They see the people who use the money the wrong way. They look at different things and they see that I got my Nikes on and I got my cool vest on. And they begin to let the enemy work and say, oh, this is what goes on with it. I know. I get it. I really do. But that is an excuse to allow the enemy wants to use as an excuse to allow you to be greedy. Because here's what I'm trying to say. God did not say, hey, give to a place who's going to be a good steward of your money. Now, it's good to give to a place who's going to be a good steward. That's why we share what we're doing with our money. But it was never about them. He was talking to us. He said, I want you to give. I want you to sow. I want you to be rich with your money. Bless people. Pay for their lunch. Be generous with it. But they're not grateful for it. I didn't say give it if they're going to be grateful for it. I didn't say give it if they're going to be bad stewards. I ask you to do something. Let me take care of that. You just be obedient. This is about you. Don't let someone else destroy the abundant life God wants to give you. The enemy wants to come in and say, would you shoot a televangelist? I'm not giving a cent. That is a lie. Let them do what they want to do. If they want to do it the wrong way or the right way, that's not going to affect you. Just give because God asked us to. Just do it. It takes faith. The guy here says, I'm going to collect everything I have. And he says, it will never, look, he says, I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and you have room enough stored for years to come now. Can I be honest with you? It will never be enough. It will never be enough. You see, guys, until you know, I had this written down, until you know Jesus is enough and all you need, you'll never get rid of your greed. Because the truth is, when we can be secure knowing that God supplies all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, we'll have no problem helping others in need. Because why? Because we have enough. Guys, our greed problem is we want more. The way to handle the greed problem is to know we have everything in Christ. Everything. So when you go out and there's an open door for you to give, God is saying, store up these things in heaven. Sean, that's weird. Because it's like the checking account and the savings account or the 401k. I want my money and I want access to it. What does it do up there? I don't know. I don't know how he's going to use it, but I do know one thing. We have to stop living looking at the things of this earth and realize this is just a temporary place. We have to think eternal mindset, the eternal impact. We don't do this for temporary impact. Everything we do on Sunday is for eternal impact. That's why I say, if you need to make a decision to follow Jesus today, let's do it before we say our prayer out, because we want you to be in heaven with us. What am I doing? I'm not thinking about this earth. I'm thinking about what's to come. That's why when I talk about your storms and your trials and your situations, yes, they're hard and they're difficult, but Paul says this, even though they're difficult, they are temporary problems compared to the far surpassing greatness of looking to heaven. Now, if we're going on for eternity, this is just a blip. I know it's painful. I know it's hard, but nothing is going to outweigh it. I can't stand my wife sometimes. I love you, but I can't stand it like this. She looks at me when I'm fearful and anxiety. She says, Sean, so what? If it's something serious, we die and we go to heaven. I'm like, she's like, and we get to worship all day. Because she has the realization, Yeah, we're here for a short time and we can bring heaven to earth, but we're not living for this place.
Right.
And when we realize that, we'll stop storing stuff that's going to stay here when we die.
Yeah.
We'll stop storing stuff. And I know I'm just being really off the cuff right now, guys. Just pray for me because I'm really loose right now. I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going right now. But I'm just leading. Because at the end of the day, I see so many people in our area looking for the American dream. They throw the American dream. It's like a cardboard box in the safe, and the earth is a cardboard box, and heaven's a safe, and we have this earth account, and we have this heaven account, and even though these things look good, and we have the American dream, and we have the cars, and people like them, I'm sorry, but those people are not going to be looking at you in heaven. They're going to be looking at Jesus. So it doesn't matter what you have and what you do. It matters what you do with it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not living for this earth anymore. I want to make a heaven impact. And if it's greed stepping in the way of someone finding Christ, I need to get that thing behind me. If we truly believe that Jesus is who he says he is, we wouldn't be so stingy with our money. We wouldn't. Because when I look at it in my heart, I'm talking to myself, guys, I'm one of the stingiest people in here. I'm preaching from my heart right now because there's times where God says, I want you to bless. They're like, oh, give me a bigger barn. Give me a bigger barn. Honestly, I think the reason why, oh, I'm doing good. I think the reason why, let me be honest with you. There's no format to this. This is just, here's a nugget for you, here's a nugget for you, here's a nugget for you. I think what happens is the reason why we store earthly accounts or we store things in the earth and not heaven is because of this. I think it's because we look at this deposits as withdrawals and we look at withdrawals as deposits. Let me explain this. If you're into like, oh gosh, Sean, I didn't go to accounting. I don't want anything to do with accounting. When you have a bank account, we know that there's withdrawals and there's deposits. I love looking at my banking account and going through. I'll skip all the expenses. I'm just like, I don't want to see those. Oh, there's a plus sign. That means more money in my account. Woo, let's go. Liz, you take care of all the expenses. And he's like, stop going to Dunkin', Sean. Stop doing this, Sean. This fast has been really good for us. She's like, we're saving money. And I think what happens is when the giving bucket comes around or when God opens the opportunity for us to be generous or when Christmas comes, I know that we want to give to our family and we should bless our kids, but maybe teaching them that Christmas isn't just all about us. Maybe we could take one of our gifts and give it to someone who needs it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we have. And what happens is when we are allowed to give, the enemy gets into us that this is actually a withdrawal. Oh, it's coming out. It's coming out of your account. I don't see that. I think God sees it as a deposit. He's like, you see it as a withdrawal? I see it as a deposit. I have a scripture I want to show you. Look at this. This is in Luke. Luke 12, 33 through 34. Jesus says this to a rich young ruler. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He repeats himself. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. I don't know about you, but that looks like a withdrawal. I have this money. I've been given these resources. I own this thing. I want to sell it and get more money for it. I'm not going to bless someone with it. Can I challenge maybe someone today to start getting less greedy? If you have something in your house that you don't need anymore, don't sell it. Find someone who needs it. No, I can't do that. Our family needs the money. That's fine. Maybe that's a season for that. But I want to challenge you. Find someone who needs it. Let God take care of your situation. We see, he says, sell your possessions. And the rich young ruler left. Why? Because he saw it as a withdrawal. But if he knew what he was getting when he had Christ, if he knew what he was getting when he sold all his possessions, if he knew what he was getting. And so I don't see giving anymore as a withdrawal. I see it as a deposit. And if we're honest with ourselves, isn't this what God did with Jesus? He didn't say, I'm sending my son down from heaven to come to earth. He didn't see it as a withdrawal. He said, I'm depositing my son into the earth. Why? Because I have one child and I want many children. So I see this as an investment. You know what an investment is? An investment is seeing a withdrawal as a deposit. An investment is seeing, I'm going to put my money into this, but I know I'm going to get a return in it. See, when you look at things as investment, just a while back, we went to a conference with our team, and I was like, I don't know if I want to spend money to do this. I don't know if I want to do that. And I wrestled, and I talked to overseers, and one of them said this. They said, Sean, the thing is you're looking at it from this point of view. But you need to look at it as an investment. If God's asking you to go, he'll take care of the finances. You need to invest. And so we did. And oh my gosh, what we received in that weekend with our team, no money could buy it ever. Why? Because it was no longer a withdrawal. It was a deposit. Can I encourage you today that when you see your money going out, the reason why you're probably not cheerful about it is because you're seeing it as being taken away. But God says, no, you're investing into something that's pretty powerful. Because he says, I can bring back. Blessed are those who give. It's better to give than to receive. If you give, I'll give back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The rich young ruler built more and more and more barns. And listen what it says in verse 19. My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. In high school, one of my friends on Facebook, he had a little bio, and his bio was, eat, drink, and be merry. And he had the scripture written underneath of it. And I was like, that verse you're using, I don't think it means what you think it means. Any Princess Bride fans in here? Come on, somebody. That, he was like, no, I'm not. Anyways, I'm like, I don't think that guy was wrong. Like, he was saying like, oh, retire, I'm good. Sean, is God against retiring? No, he's not against retiring, but what are you doing with the retirement? If you're just going and sitting on a beach and not being involved with anybody in life, God's got more for you than that. He wants you to make an effect in people's lives. He says, eat, drink, and be merry. And then God says this. He says, this is hard stuff, guys. He says, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything you worked for. You're telling me that this dude works so hard to build a bigger barn, to store more food, and then he sits back and then, boop, gone. This is the end of the movie that my wife hates. Like, she likes all the Hallmark movies. I like the ones that keep you guessing at the end. Like, this would be my type of movie. At the end, it's just like, oh, he built the barn. He stored all the wheat. And he sits back. He's got a pina colada, virgin pina colada for the Baptist. I'm just kidding. He sits back. It's a joke. Relax. Breathe. He drinks the pina colada. He sets it. And then it goes to credits. Liz would be like, are you serious? I'd be like, oh my gosh, that was so impactful. Do you know what they were saying? Like, they were saying, don't spend this whole life storing up things that don't matter. He had so many opportunities to use his wheat to bless hurting people. He had so much time to use his money to impact the kingdom of God, and yet he impacted nothing. And now when he steps through the gates, he's got nothing there. And everything is still on earth. We got to stop living like things are going with us because they're not coming with us. They're not. He said, I built bigger barns. He said, you fool. You can't do this. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Sean, where is the silver linings in this? Sometimes God asks us to do the hard things. So when we step out in faith, we see provision and we see freedom, and we see healthiness and wholeness. But when we talk about money, I heard a scholar say, when we talk about money, we look at the Old Testament, we see all these idols that people would conquer in their hometown. They would say, God would look at people and say, go into your hometown and pull these idols down. You see, guys, when we talk about money, James McDonald says this. He says, when you do the giving spec thing, and people begin to go, that shows they have an idol. And as pastors, our job isn't to run from that. Our job is to knock them over. Because when you knock them over, you can see Jesus clearly for who he is. And when you see Jesus for who he is, sorry, but no amount of money will ever suffice you like Jesus can. Money's not going to help you when you're going through chemotherapy. Money's not going to help you when you get calls from your family who are going through cancer. It might help take care of situations. You might be able to bless people with it, but it's not going to help you when you go through it. But Jesus promises to be like a brother, to stay with you in the good times and the bad times. And Jesus says, this money thing that we have circulated, it is important, I want you to be good with it. I want you to bless others. Yes, the church needs money to do what God's called them to do, but the reason why the church can't be as effective, guys, if we ever looked at this, money is one of the most powerful things besides Jesus on the other side of it, is what I'm saying. Money was the reason why Jesus was on the cross. Judas betrayed him for money. I'm sorry, guys, but we've been Judas. I'll take the money just for this simple day. I don't want that for us. I don't want that for our church. I want to be people who look like Jesus. I want to be people who don't just build bigger barns, but we build hospitals, and we build where people can come and find refuge. We build places where people can come and find healing, and they can find hope. The church I see is not stingy with their money. They're generous. Now, it says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and guys, our vision's way too big to be stingy with. Our vision's way too big to just hold everything to ourselves. I truly believe that when we begin to make an impact, we say, you know what? This is hard, but I know first and foremost, I've heard people say this, you should give. Why? Because it's going to be brought back to you. Or you should give because it's already been given to you. It's already been given to you. If he doesn't give me a cent left, I'm pretty made. Going to heaven, got a hot wife, that's for sure. Amazing girls. I got an amazing church with amazing volunteers who I look at before the run-through and say, hey guys, I'm changing everything. And they say, okay, I don't know about you, but God has blessed me. And I believe it hasn't started until he said, Sean, will you give me your wallet? Will you step out in the area that you are worried about? Will you step out? Because God says in Malachi, he says these things. He says that we need to bring our money to the storehouse. He says, Sean, the reason why I'm asking you to do this is not what I want from you, it's what I want for you. Your heart is in the things of the world, but if you want to put your heart in the things of God, you have to trust in me. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I can tell you where your heart is by looking at your bank account. You can tell your wife you love her all the time, but when you see that you spend more money on the golf course than you do at date nights, you love golf more than you love your wife. Ouch. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be. And I'm not saying don't go golfing. Just make sure you spend some time taking your girl out and get some date night. Buy her some makeup. Buy her some fingernail polish and more fingernail polish. And every time you go to Walmart, buy more fingernail polish. But what I'm trying to say is this, where your heart is, I'm just being open around it. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You can't sit on Facebook and say, I heart my church and not give to the church. You don't have a heart for the house. You just have a big mouth on Facebook. Guys, remember, if you're not a believer yet, you're just chilling like, but if you're a follower of Christ, you're like, this is real. It's as real as it gets. Do I have a heart for the house? Do I have a heart for my community? Do I have a heart for my family? Do I have a heart for those people who are broken? You can't sit and say you love someone who's going through tragedy and not throw a dollar towards them. You got to say, where my treasure is, my heart will be also. And if you want your heart to be in the hands of Jesus, then we should give to the things he loves. And he's coming back for his bride. And that's the church. That's the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What does that mean, Sean? It means love the Lord with all your heart. I do. I worship, and I sing, and I live. But do you give? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Jesus says, would you give to the things that are hurting? Why do we give to the A21 campaign? Worship team, come on up. You gotta shut me up. Worship team, come on up. Why do we give? Why do we give to the A21 campaign? Why do we do it? What is that, Sean? These are girls who've been sex trafficked. These are girls who have been abused at the age of maybe 10 and up, maybe even younger. My daughter is going to be 10 in 6 years. Some of them get taken at 4 or 5. Why do we give towards that? Why do I preach messages like this? So that we can give to help those people. Because at the end of the day, I might have a nice car, but I'd rather see 5 women say, because of your generosity, I got rescued from that maniac who was trying to rape me. I got rescued from that maniac who was trying to hurt me. And that's more of an effect than having a nice car. Sorry if your kids are in here and you have to explain what I just said, but that's just what it is. At the end of Sermon on the Mount, he says this. He says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And God says this, you cannot serve both God and money. You're like, Sean, that's great. You talked about the rich young ruler, but I'm not rich. We're more rich than what we think we are. They say if you have any amount of money and you have a roof over your head, that you are richer than three to five billion people in this world. 3 billion people in this world. 80%. You're richer than 80% of people in this world if you have a roof over your head. So in those terms, we're rich. He says you can't serve both God and money. You'll either follow one or you'll follow the other. Who's calling the shots? Who's making you move? Who moves you? Is it Benjamin Franklin or is it God? Who moves you? Is it the money or is it God? My girls are adorable, but they're at the age where they don't want to listen to anything I say. And I remember there's times where I'm trying to get them into the kitchen because we have food or we have something, or I just want to talk to them about something. I'm like, Charlie, my little one, come here. Come here, Charlie. Charlie, come here. Charlie, come. Charlie, come here, right? She doesn't come. And finally, I'm like, I got snacks. Now, I know it's not good parenting, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Did you give her snacks? No. Yes, I gave her. I got snacks. Woo, hair flying in the wind. The fastest I've ever seen her. She's like, snacks? I realize her father's voice didn't move her, but what the father gave moved her. How many times do we want what Father gives? How many times have we let what God gives move us more than the Father himself? You see, when the Father speaks in Malachi, can you guys throw Malachi up for me, please? Malachi 3, verse 10, he says this, I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob bring all the tithes into the store. Oh, go back. Whoa, too fast for me. Verse 5. Oh, where are we at? Go back. I am the Lord and do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Here we go. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me. Remember, he's saying, now return to me. And I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Can it be true that we think we're still here? And God says, you left a while ago. He says, how do we do? He says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings to me. Let's leave this on here. People say cheat God. Some says rob. Actually, the Greek says rob God. Could you imagine if someone asked me to take care of their money and I was writing checks to myself? Hey, can you hold my checkbook for a little bit? I'm like, yes, I can. He says, you've taken my money, you've write checks to yourself and what you want to accomplish. He says, but what do you mean? You've cheated me. Verse 8-9. You're under curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Verse 10, bring all the tithes, that means 10% of everything that comes in, into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. What he's saying, it's not a withdrawal, it's a deposit, it's an investment. If you deposit this, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Here we go, let's leave it here. Try it. Put me to the test. I love a God who says, put me to the test. I love a God who says, try me. I love a God who says, just try it. I dare you to try it. See, and not, he's not threatening you. Do you know what he's threatening you with? Blessing you. He's like, try me, and you better believe I'm going to bless you, man. You know, he's saying like, try me, I'll knock you off. No, he's saying, try me, I'm going to bless you. Try me, I'll hug you. Try me, I'll give you some money. Try me. He says, bring that 10% in, and I will open up. God's voice has gone out. But when the bucket comes around, or when the opportunity arises, the money begins to speak too. I got snacks. What voice are you going to follow? as he says, bring him in. Bring him in. I'm going to pray. But at this time, I want you to really say, who's my master? When we say, giving is not what we want from you, it's what we want for you, we mean it. I tell people all the time, every time Rachel lets me know there's a new giver, I always ask her, do we have any new givers? She goes, yeah. Like, you asked that? Yeah, because every time there's a new giver, I know someone has given their heart to God. And that's the most exciting thing. They're saying, God, I don't want just part of you. I want all of you. I know these aren't easy messages to say, but if you're a follower of Christ and you've been in church for a while now, you got to make this decision. Am I going to continue to rob God? Or am I going to take 10% of what he gives me and bring it back to the storehouse? I'll let him take care of everything else. But from more on, no more building barns. Yes, I can have money. Things aren't bad. Having a nice car isn't bad. I'm not saying these things are bad. There's some people that I know who have really nice things, and they've given so much money to people. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's if there's a reason why that's working like that. Because why is God going to bless people who don't bless others? I don't know. But I'm going to pray. And at this time, as I'm praying, you guys, you're like, Sean, we forgot the offering segment. This was the offering message. I'm going to give another 45-minute message after this. I'm just kidding. But we're going to give. And you're like, Sean, that's manipulative. No, it's a time for you to respond. It's time for us to respond. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to. Don't give if you're like, I'm feeling forced. Don't. God says he wants a cheerful giver. I want you to get your hearts to the place to say, this is going to go towards someone who's getting saved. I want you to grab that envelope and put your hand on it and say, this is going to transform someone's marriage. This is going to rescue someone from addiction. This is going to pull someone out of some things that God has been trying to work in them. This is going to heal people from heroin addiction. I want you to see that as a deposit, not a withdrawal, and say, we are going to accomplish something as a church. It's not one person doing everything. It's everybody doing something. And we are not going to be stingy. We are going to build God's kingdom, not our own barns. Lord, we pray right now that you would give us the strength, that you would bless us right now. I pray that you would move in our hearts, Father God. If it's the first time giving or the 30th time giving, I pray today that we would turn to you and we would say, from now on, I'm bringing my tithes. From now on, I'm giving when the bucket goes around. From now on, I'm giving to what God has asked me to do. This is your words, Lord. Not Sean's. Holy Spirit, I spoke. I'm getting away. You work in the hearts. You work in the lives. We thank you for everything you're doing, Lord, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.